Yo, man. This morning, I do want to build on top of what Craig did last week. And if you were here last week, we looked at John 15 of the vine and how we are grafted in. And if you weren't here last week, praise the Lord for internet. You can go to the Oxygen Life website and get the recordings that are there. And what I want to specifically look at this morning is, how do we grow into the more? In other words, in light of being pruned, in light of looking what the fruit of the Spirit is, and how death itself has a fruit of its own, which is death ultimately. The wages of sin is death. And this morning, I want to look at how on earth do I grow, whether I've been saved for a few months, whether I've been saved for 2 years, a year, whether I've been saved for 10, 20 years. And I'll never forget actually being saved back at home in King Williamstown. And the very first comm I went to, I still believe I had the greatest comm leaders on planet Earth. And there was this man called Tatumakau. He was a black man, tall, and he had the biggest bass voice ever. Ever. And so I remember actually standing in a comm meeting and we were praying. And I mean, I was at a point where I could only probably say 10 words to God and I'd maxed out. I don't know how to pray eloquently or pray with longevity. And this man next to me was just praying. And I remember a hilarious moment as I was closing my eyes. He started speaking in tongues. I was like, what black man speaks like that? and I asked him, I was like, what were you saying? And he explained to me what tongues were, the mysteries of God. But his testimony was that he was a man that was steeped in alcoholism and his life changed and he'd never been the same. And for 20 years on, he had been running with the Lord. And I remember having been saved for a couple of months, going like, I want to be like this guy. I want to get to the end. I want to run my race and for years get to the finishing line. And so in a sense, Jesus himself, when he comes and he calls you, he wants you to get to the end because there is a reality that you might veer off. And Paul has to write, who cut in on you, Galatians? You started off with grace and landed off with the law. And there is a reality that we are able to veer off. And in a sense, I want to look at some key markers in God's word which show that we are growing, which show that we are coming into the more. And so the title of my message this morning is Growing Into the More. And one of the ways that you see something has grown is change. If you rock up at a place and you see change, you know that there is growth. And I'll get later to nuance it that sometimes growth means that you don't change, but you remain. And so when God comes to you, he wants to constantly change you because at your natural state, you're selfish, you're full of junk, you're craving sin, you're wanting to rebel against God, you don't want to submit to the ways of God, and God wants to change you. Now, at that point of time when God is calling you, sometimes we resist, sometimes we kick out. Sometimes you don't like actually what God says. And I want to help you this morning to always go, okay, God's counsel is always good. In a sense, I want you to eat your veggies this morning. Sometimes they're not nice, but you're going to grow as long as you eat your peas. Put a sauce, some sauce there. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 3 to 5 says, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love of all and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you'll be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. And so God comes into our lives to change us, like I said. And it's interesting what Paul says. He says that he actually says to the Thessalonians church, I see your faith has grown more and more. And his next line is that I see how your love for one another has increasingly grown. And one of the evidence that you and me and us are growing is that we love one another. Is that you well up to serve the brothers and the sisters of God. Because at the day before you got saved, or the years before you got saved, every single thing revolved around you, your own pleasures, your own desires, your own cravings. You wanted you. And you wanted to actually put yourself first. But God actually comes down from heaven and dies for you and for me. He pays precious blood for the church. And there's nothing on this planet that is more precious than people. And so one sign, the first sign of growth, is that you love God's people. Now that's challenging because people aren't easy to love. People have got their own mess. People have got their own situations that are going on there. And so one of the first markers is that you would look at God's people and know that you called and grafted in here, as Craig built in our hearts last week. That your desire would be the household of God is a priority. The people that God has placed me here are important. And the reason why they're important is because you've got a part to play to add value in their lives, to point them to Jesus so that they can grow into the more. But secondly, they've got a part to play in order for you to become all that you are in Jesus. And so we can't, in a sense, overextend on the one of giving but not receiving in the body of God. And we can't always be receiving and always running to people to help us, but we're not playing our part. It's both ways. And so God does a work in your heart where he changes your heart of stone and he gives you a heart of flesh. And actually, it gives you a heart for the people of God. It's amazing what God does, where he sends you into a people where initially you didn't fit in, where initially you didn't feel like you were part of God's people, but he gives you a heart for the local church. He gives you a heart for those that are around you. And as God works in your heart, he calls you. And I remember to share a story. One of the moments where God did this is that God, in a sense, works in layers. It's almost like an onion. When you get saved, he doesn't come and kind of like smacks you left, right, and center with all your sins. He almost sort of works in layers. He starts with one layer, and then he deals with the sort of obvious sins. Then you kind of like work through them, and you repent, and you work through them. And then he comes to another layer, and you're like, oh my word, I didn't know this was here. And I remember actually a layer in my own heart. In the local church. I remember when I got saved. So I'm one of those guys, believe it or not, I'm happy to be an introvert and be at home and chill and relax. And so my personality is not sort of out there type of personality. I'm not quick to grab the mic and go for things. And I remember one of the first layers when I got saved was, will you sing to the Lord out loud in a meeting? And I was like, oh my word, are you joking? Like, I'm happy to kind of like whisper my little prayers. And then the Lord would say, are you doing this for man? Or are you doing this for me? Hey, Holy Spirit. Then I'd pass that test. Then I'd be happy, not in any prideful way, but I'd like sing to the Lord or pray out loud. Then he comes to another layer. He says, would you raise your hands during worship? I was like, no ways. That's happening. And then he'd ask again, are you doing this for man? Are you doing this for me? And then I'd be like, okay, Lord, if you're calling me to raise my hands during worship, Bible says, raise up holy hands before the Lord. And then I remember, actually, we were still in PM, and during the worship time, the Lord gave me a song during worship. Now, if you've known me longer than a day, I probably can't sing. And I was sweating bullets. I was like, oh my word, you are joking. And it wasn't one of those situations where I think the Lord, my heart was beating, and I had a song. And I remember the Lord said, go to the front and sing a song. Oh my word, no ways. And I kind of went to back and forth with myself, and I rocked up to Brad, and it was one of those, I hope Brad doesn't allow me to sing. So I was like, Jesus, I'm obeying, but let him not allow me to sing. And then Brad's like, ching. It's like, oh my word.
And something from that, taking that step, something lifted. At the fear of man and the fear that I have breaks off. And in a sense, you are wrestling every day with fear of moving forward. Because as you're walking, when you've got both your feet here, you feel secure. But every single time you have to move, there's one leg and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, and then you plonk and then you're secure again. And then the Lord calls you and then you have to be vulnerable and lift another foot. And so life is like that. Till the day you reach the grave, there's layers in you. And some of those layers you don't know and some of them you know. And at times your leaders, often Andrew teaches us and Brad, as leaders, we've got to take you to where you don't want to go. And we've got to teach you how to follow Jesus. And that's the task that the shepherds are given. But we've got to do that with love and grace. And so I want to encourage you, man, this morning, where God is calling you to love God's people. Love them with all your soul, strength, mind, and heart. And Jesus said the second commandment is just like the first. And so you're actually called to love God's people. Called to open up your homes, called to open up your life, called to pray for the saints. That's part of the calling that you have as a member of this church. You're called to pray for God's people. You're called, actually, in a sense, for your giftings to come to the fore, where you know that I've got a gifting of prophecy or gifting of wisdom, gifting of leading. Don't hide behind fear, because God wants you to grow more and more. But before God does such things, he pokes different holes in us so that we repent. And 1 Peter 2, verse 1 to 5 says, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And Paul and Peter says, rid yourselves of malice. And I actually want us to walk through what these things mean. Malice means basically to desire harm. That's in you. As a human being, there's something inside of you that wants to be justified. There's something inside of you that wants, in a sense, to hurt other people. There's something inside of you when you're angry and you say a swear word and you say something that is hurtful. Those things are in you. They're there. And Peter says, rid yourselves of malice. Deceit means to deceive people. In other words, don't twist the truth. Don't twist arguments. Don't twist things in order to get what you want. But rid yourselves of these things. Another one is envy. So envy means that you're looking at somebody's possessions or someone else's things, and you want those. And Jesus would emphatically say to you, what is it to you that that person has A, B, C, and D? And those are the things that are in you in different degrees and different layers. Here's another one, slander. To slander means basically to damage someone's reputation. Defamation of character for all the law students. You slandering people. You're saying this leader can't do A, B, C, and D. This person is useless. They can't do A, B, C, and D. And the Bible would teach you to believe the best, because love always trusts. Where we need to tell the truth, we must be robust enough to tell you the truth in love. But we land at a place of truth, that I'm connected in the household of God. And what's even more interesting is that Peter says, rid yourself. So in other words, the onus is on you. And I need to nuance this. God brings his spirit. The Bible says the spirit of God convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So in other words, when we walk with God and live with God, the voice of the spirit comes in our hearts and he pokes and he shows us what's right, what's wrong. At that juncture, you can either receive the counsel of God and yield, or you can resist God's ways and not take heed of what God says. And Peter's basically saying, at that intersection, when God is showing you things where you need to change, you need to participate and say, God, I will yield. God, I will lay it down. God, I will confess my sins. And you're able not to, actually, because God gives you choice. And to cement this point, the Bible says the grace of God has come, and it teaches us to say no to ungodliness. So it's as though God gives us the power to now stand against sin. But you're able to resist that. You're able to not take what God has offered you. It's almost like someone drowning and Jesus is throwing you a life jacket. You can either take that life jacket and put it on, or you can just push it aside. And that's what Peter's saying. You have got a part to play in ridding yourself of all these things. And actually, other times when I disciple guys, I say, what are you resolving to do now in light of this sin? God's power is at work, but what are you going to do so that you don't fall in the same space again? And that's what you've got to actually do. When you repent, that's repentance. It's to say, because Jesus deals in John 8 with an adulterous woman. And so they caught her in adultery. They come in front of a bunch of people, and Jesus brings the truth. But what Jesus says, he says, go on and sin no more. And in a sense, when you are repenting, it's to say to the person that you are confessing that to, this A, B, and C, I will do no more. And that's a sign that you're growing. That's a sign that you're growing, and you've got to allow people in that space, the junk, the dirt, the muck, it's there. We know it's there. But you could resist the ways of God. But obviously, we don't want you to do that. But Peter says, as you do that, crave for the pure spiritual milk. Crave, desire the ways of God. Desire who He is. Desire, think back at how God saved you and where He took you from. And desire those things. And one of the good exercises, actually, is to say, Lord, what am I desiring of you this season? What's in my spirit? What do I long for in this season, God? And actually, as I was preparing this week, I just felt the Lord hit a note on that, where some people have been stagnant, where some people have lost desire, you've lost your zeal before the Lord. Whether you've been saved for a month, whether you've been saved for a year or 2 years, you've lost desire, you've lost a hunger inside of you that God wants to restore. And the Bible says, crave for pure spiritual milk. I don't know about you, but when I crave something, I am jittery, I am wanting that slice of cake, I can't sit down, I need to, and cravings usually lead you to an action to do. Both on the righteous side and both on evilness. And crave for this pure spiritual milk. And one of my favorite lines that Peter says, if you can put it up, Aurelian, verse number 4. Peter says, as you come, I'm looking for that line, verse 4. It says, as you come to Him. And on this journey of growing with God, do you know that you can stop coming to God? And I remember actually to share a story with my friend. We got saved in youth together. And we were actually just chatting about our own friends that we once started the journey of salvation with, and they no longer serve God. It's quite crazy. Some of these guys were leaders actually at youth. These are people that opened the ways of God. These are people that shaped us. These are people that taught us the Bible, and they're not serving Jesus now. They. And I remember sitting, we were driving, and we asked ourselves, what happened there? And actually, as we were chatting and looking and assessing, the Holy Spirit's almost laid in our hearts that they stopped coming. And not only did they stop coming, they stopped saying, yes, Lord. And one of the most dangerous parts is when you stop saying yes, Lord, to whatever the counsel of God is. Once you stop saying yes, Lord, and Satan doesn't take you from yes, Lord, to no, Lord. He takes you from yes, Lord, to maybe. Yes, Lord, to a little bit later. Yes, Lord. And if Satan can start drawing you off little by little and he's taking ground, growth is not happening. And I remember actually the Lord putting that in my heart in terms of quiet times where my alarm would go off. I am not a morning person at all. So when that alarm goes off in the morning, I'm groggy. I am just, Jesus. And it starts that way where your alarm goes off and the first thing you go to is your phone. Or your alarm goes off and you start snoozing and then you snooze and before you know it, your lecture's starting and you get up and go. And guard the times with God. Guard your quiet times with the Lord. Guard those times to grow and be nourished in God's ways. And can I say, if you're not having a quiet time, prioritize a quiet time. If you feel you don't have time, make the time. Wake up an extra 30 minutes before and spend time reading the Bible and pray to God and worship the Lord. Because if that's not happening, you're not getting nourished. You're not getting nourished. I love the analogy Craig had last week. If that peach is not in there, it's not getting nutrients. It's not receiving. And that's one of the markers that to nourish yourself, to grow, to have those times that are there. Then the Bible says something really cool and really, really, really interesting in 2 Peter 3, verse 17. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And so, Peter says, grow in the grace of God, which is amazing and an interesting line to say, which I'll unpack now. But he first warns that there's the era of lawlessness, which is in the world. And Jesus actually speaks about this when his disciples are asking him, how will the end come? And Jesus says, in the end, there'll be wars. There'll be kingdom against kingdom. There'll be nation against nation. And then one of the last lines Jesus says, he says that the hearts of many will grow cold. And it's a very interesting line that Jesus says that what the world wants you to do is for your own heart to grow cold. And how that happens is the era of lawlessness. And you and me, left unattended by God, are rebellious beings. There's something, the seed of sin in us does not want to obey. It almost wants to vomit when God is calling us. There's something inside of you that does not want to come under the ways of God. It does not love it. It does not want it. It doesn't embrace it. It does not want to see it. And so Peter says, be on your guard and don't be carried away by the error of lawlessness. And you've got to recognize in your own heart where I can feel this lawlessness, where I can feel there's just rebellion rising in my heart. I don't want to lay it down. I don't want to submit. I don't want to yield to the ways of God. And this happens because our thinking is depraved. Our thinking is ungodly. Our thinking is not the ways of God. But secondly, is that we don't love to submit as human beings. Because our heart goes, who on earth are you to tell me what to do? But God wants to form thinking inside of you. And Romans 12 would say, be renewed. Renew your mind. Yes. Yeah. And then Peter says, but grow in the grace of God. And so when Jesus is teaching the woman at the well, he announces a new covenant that's happening. And Jesus says, in this new covenant, I'm looking for people who worship me in spirit and in truth. And so the whole New Testament's foundation is that God has given us Jesus, who's the way. and has given us the word of God, but the Spirit of God comes in your heart. And in other parts of the Bible, funny enough, the Spirit is called the Spirit of grace. And Holy Spirit comes inside of you. And Jesus says, basically in his word, when you grow in grace, you are growing, keeping in step with the Spirit of God. And one of the ways to show that you are changing and that you are healthy is that we all should be a people keeping in step with the Spirit. Action come. What you should be hearing is, Holy Spirit convicted me of lying. Holy Spirit led me to Matthew 1. Holy Spirit is speaking that I need to tithe, I need to give, I need to be a part of the family of God. And if you're not, if we're not hearing what the Holy Spirit is doing in your heart, I'd argue with you that are you growing? And can I say, actually, if you are here going like, I love Jesus, I want to grow, but I've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, never been baptized with the Holy Spirit, we'd love to pray for you, man, this morning, definitely. And what the Holy Spirit does, as I said, he convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And Holy Spirit convicts you of sin. He begins to come in the different closets of your room. And he begins to poke, and he says, that does not reflect the ways of God. And at that point, you can either resist the voice of the Spirit, or you can yield and say, Lord, I'm so sorry that I'm following the error of lawlessness. He convicts you of sin, but he also convicts you of righteousness. What does God want? God wants me to lay down my life. God wants me to serve. God wants me to live for him. God wants me. And one of the most beautiful things as an elder or someone who's walking with someone is when you're seeing something in someone's heart and they can't see it. And you're like, oh my word, I'm going to have a conversation here. And perhaps this is offensive. I've got to correct you that what you're doing doesn't reflect the ways of God. And when the person calls you and says, can we have a coffee? And they're like, Holy Spirit said, I should stop doing this. And you're like, hallelujah. May the Lord be praised. So we often pray for you guys like, Lord, please show them that they need to repent. And so Holy Spirit should always be working in your heart. Matter of fact, in the Bible, godly masculinity means to hear God and to move. And if a man, that's a husband, is not hearing God, where on earth are we going? Because the voice of the Spirit always gives life. And so godly man, yes. And the ladies said, amen. Trying to help the ladies here. Alrighty, as I start landing, 1 Corinthians 3:6, verse 9. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Verse 8, the one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. And so actually, if you can keep it up, that word, that's where we get our understanding apostolically of a field of churches. That's why we don't say a network of churches. Network is basically, let me come here, what can I get the most? Let me leave. But a field of churches, it's almost like the Bible's language. It's almost like a farmer with a piece of land, and there's a little bit of potatoes there, there's a little bit of carrots there, there's some bean sprout, or whatever the case may be. And in a sense, as Oxygen Life, we are a field of churches. We're a field, and God always assigns someone on that field, and that's why we recognize the apostolic. And so actually one of the ways God helps you to grow is that Paul says, one sows, one waters, but it's the Lord that makes it grow. So you've got to be spending time with Jesus himself. But God adds you to the field. And so one of the ways you grow is that, are you tapping into the field? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. and get on with what the apostolic is saying. You know, if you don't have the 412 app, get it as in yesterday. If you're not on that YouTube channel or the 412 app, subscribe as in yesterday. Like, subscribe, comment below, hit the notification bell, sub the channel. Finally, I get to say that in the right context. Get on that YouTube and listen to what's happening in the field. There's so many resources on how to live, on how to repent, and how to, oh my word, there's like a list of how to worship. How does healing work out? You know, what are elders? What are deacons? How does a healthy marriage look like? What should I be doing in comm? What shouldn't I be doing at comm? I remember we had to correct someone who used to hog the Doritos, used to go, and then they stop. Amen, brother. Praise the Lord. And so you've got to get into what's happening in the field of churches. In a sense, as a saint, you've got to ask your overseeing elder, where are we going? What are you guys feeling as a body? How can I serve? How can I lay down my life? How can we build in God's kingdom? Even this morning, we made an announcements of the Komani gathering, the field, and East London, the field of churches. We're seeing that when we go, we'll receive. But in our going, we also give. And that's why it's a priority, because God changes our lives. And then lastly, Philippians 1, verse 9 to 11. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more. Paul is going to a region in Philippi, and he says, my hope, in a sense, is that you would grow more and more. One of the worst things is you having shared the gospel with someone linked to the local church, and when you come back years later, they're still around the same circle. But it's a delight to see someone you shared the gospel to, and they've grown. Their love has grown more and more. In knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And so God's desire as a people of God is our love for Him would grow more and more. His desire is that we'd be a people passionate about His ways and to live our lives, not for our own glory, but for His. His intentions for us is that we'd grow and become all that we are, that we'd get to the end and not be carried away by the error of lawlessness. And God wants us and He desires that each and every one of you, man, would grow and become like Jesus. Each and every one of you guys would grow and come into the more of leading, the more of the gifts coming, and the more of advancing God's kingdom as we build the church.